And we are back. Welcome back. Good to have you here. Going to have a really good one for you today. I'm going to do some email questions in this version of Coffee Break Podcast that have to do with scheduled award and being qualified or disqualified for scheduled award. So this is one that I get a lot of questions about in emails, and I decided to go ahead and do it because a lot of people ask me questions and I give them a lot of answers, but they're actually not qualified for a scheduled award, so none of the answers and help that I give them are helpful because technically they're not qualified. So, without further ado, let's get started with our next episode of Coffee Break Podcast. So first of all, welcome to Federal Workers' Comp Coffee Break Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Taylor. I'm a Federal Workers' Compensation Consultant for now 28 years, hard to believe. Got the white hair to show for it. This is a short format, coffee break style format, so that we sit and we discuss all sorts of topics related to OWCP and DOD, FICA, Department of Labor, Longshore, and any other type of federal workers' compensation. We do it in a short coffee break format because we will discuss a lot of common topics related to filing, appropriate claims, rules and provisions, rights and responsibilities, and understanding your eligibility and your disqualifications under federal rules and provisions for injured workers. We cover these topics and we go over tips on how to successfully navigate federal workers' comp in order to assist you with your claim. And then it also covers topics like retirement, disability first, and today's topic, scheduled awards. So, like we always like to do when we get started, we want to start off by getting our coffee going. So let's get our coffee going. And let's dive right in to qualifications and disqualification exceptions for scheduled awards. Okay, let's get started. Now, in this episode, the reason why we're discussing this particular topic is because I get a lot of emails about it. So I want to talk about this today because the first thing you need to understand is that in order to receive a scheduled award, you have to have an accepted federal workers' comp eligible injury that's work-related, that it has been approved with whatever division of federal comp you fall under. And under that division, you have to have an accepted permanent injury. So let's start with what is a scheduled award. If you're a current or past federal employee and you are permanently injured while on the job, then you could be entitled to receive compensation for your injury. This type of compensation is known as a settlement. It has a name. It's called a scheduled award. Now, you have to understand that a scheduled award can only be given to an injured worker if that worker has been designated to have received a permanent diagnosis. Now, here's the rub that people miss out on all the time. OWCP loves to give people minimal diagnosis as an accepted claim. That means they'll give you contusion and pain and strain and sprain. And the reason why they do that, they minimize everyone's diagnosis and cherry pick the diagnosis to be minimal, is because they're not wanting to have to pay out these scheduled awards and they want to avoid people being given a permanent diagnosis. That's a common practice in OWCP. Now, the OWCP permanent diagnosis means that on the table they have resolvable diagnosis and permanent. Resolvable are things that are expected to resolve, and that's what contusions and sprains and strains are considered, resolvable diagnosis. Permanent diagnosis, or diagnosis where it's medically accepted that this type of diagnosis would cause permanent damage to the body, and there's going to be permanent change to the body that's not going to be cured, that'll always be there. And there are eligible areas of the body, and there are now areas that are not eligible for scheduled awards, and we're going to cover that. And listen, applying for a scheduled award is very difficult. It's a lot of aggregation of a lot of medical evidence and reports, and it can be a very meticulous thing to do, and it takes a lot of steps to do it appropriately. So I don't recommend you go through these approval by yourself. You need to find the right clinic. You need to find the right doctors. Even if you already have a clinic and a doctor you're happy with, they may not be qualified to appropriately do a scheduled award, and you don't know that. And so you can get a referral from someone like that to clinics like ours, where we are qualified to do them. And we've been doing it for 28 years. Now, when you go in through these kind of these scheduled award questions, I get a lot of frustration in the emails that I receive because people don't understand. So I'm going to try to clear all that stuff up. So here we go. The Office of Workers' Compensation Program, OWCP, has very strict guidelines that have the eligibility criteria outlined in a very specific manner. And our clinic has 28 years of experience providing these impairment rating evaluations that are needed to make a successful award, scheduled award claim. But you have to understand that most clinics do not understand all the specific criteria and eligibility guidelines. And many times I see a lot of surgeons, especially in my state, they'll do impairment ratings using the wrong guidelines, and they'll use state workers' comp guidelines and even fill out state comp forms. And then when they submit them to eComp as a federal injured worker, they're shocked that they fight for months and years and never are eligible because the forms weren't correct and they didn't even know that. So it's a common problem. Finding someone who is qualified for a scheduled award impairment rating needs to be evaluated by somebody who's not only OWCP approved as a doctor, but also properly qualified and board certified or have the necessary background experience or medical training to satisfy the necessary procedural requirements for a narrative report that includes a description of medical evidence, things like MMI, use of AMA 6th edition guides, MMI is maximum medical improvement, by the way, calculation of ratings, citation of AMA tables, etc. You get it. There's a lot involved. But the purpose of this podcast is to make you understand if you're actually qualified to receive a scheduled award based on your federal work-related injury because you have a permanent diagnosis, going through the process is not worth your time if you have some disqualifying exceptions to your scheduled award. And if you don't know that, you may be doing all this work and it's never going to be accepted and you don't know that. And OWCP claims examiners don't take the time to explain all that to you. They'll just deny and then let you try to figure out why. They don't ever send you a letter very often explaining why. So, by the way, just for the moment, I'd like to say this. If you have a minimal diagnosis and you and your doctor have found that your diagnosis is actually different than that as an accepted claim, and they need to expand the diagnosis to be more accurate and definitive to what your actual work-related injury, all of it entailed, then you can fight for an expansion of your diagnosis to be included if the medical evidence and the evidentiary exam findings support and correlate with your work-related injury history. That's something that we do all the time in our office. Very few clinics know how to do that very well. What if you get denied, but you believe you have a case? Well, that's a great question. And what you have to understand is you need to bring that stuff to experts like myself and people with a lot of experience to look through there to see if you have a valid case that can be assisted, or if you've missed deadlines and timelines, or there's things that are case management issues that you can't fix. As always, guys, I'm here to help. Now, let's talk about these exceptions. What if you have a non-qualifying injury and you don't know it? Well, first of all, here's the most common one that I get email on all the time. Did you know that the OWCP lists specific body parts that qualify for receiving a scheduled award, but they also list some qualifications some organ system and body parts that are disqualified and are not eligible despite permanent damage to that body part that does result in loss of functionality if they're not on the organ system table anymore, then even with a permanent diagnosis, you're not going to be qualified. And guys, guess what the biggest one on the organ system table is that's not on there? The head and the neck and back. You know why? That's 50 to 60% of all claims, and they took it off the table several years back. So body parts that are qualified are things like arms and legs and hands and fingers and foot, eye, breast, skin, kidney, lungs, skin, throat, penis, testicle, tongue, ovary, uterus, vagina, and toes. That's it. Now, unfortunately, if you have an injured body part that's not on that list, guess what? You're one of those people who do not qualify for an award. Now, like I said before, the head, the neck, and the back are not part of the schedule list, but there is, however, some opportunity to obtain an award for the effect of a spinal injury if the spinal injury is found to actually have an effect on a covered body part, like a covered extremity, like arms and legs from the neck and back, but only if the medical proof is substantial and the medical proof can be demonstrated that it's correlated to the work history and the compensably accepted work-related injury. Guess what? Psychiatric injuries are also not covered on the schedule list. So lots of people ask me about that. Traumatic brain injuries, concussion, with depression, with herniated disc in the neck. That's a lot of bad injuries. And guess what? You're not getting any scheduled award unless the spinal injury is also affecting your arms or your legs. So you get what I'm saying. That's a very common email, so that's why I wanted to do this podcast, because that's the biggest one I see. Now, first of all, certain injuries can be evaluated without reference to the 6th edition of AMA guidelines. There are two conditions. There's vision loss and hearing loss. They can be done through a different system. Despite the clear statement of the law, the OWCP often gets it wrong, and the OWCP will say if you lose total vision in one eye, you're entitled to a 50% impairment rating because you have the sight in the other eye. However, there have been appeals board decisions that disagree with that. So there are some legal precedents here that if you have loss of hearing and eyes, you really ought to talk to an attorney about it, because attorneys are the ones that I find really understand the legal precedent that's been set for this, and it doesn't necessarily fit the 6th edition AMA guide. So the impairment ratings sometimes are under evaluated by doctors because they don't recognize what's all the additional rules and provisions that provide for additional impairment based on some legal precedent. There's some docket cases in your ECAB, your appeals board, that have supported this. So if you're one of those people, I would definitely recommend you getting together with an attorney and talking to them about that. And there's lots of them out there. I work with all of them, so I'm not going to recommend any one person. Most of them are really good. Now, another example would be if I got a previous scheduled award. That's another common email I get. So if you've received a previous award and you already have a workers' compensation schedule award that was paid out and you want to apply for a new award, it may not be beneficial to you. That is because the new award you're applying for could be less than your previous award. If you do that and the OWCP impairment rating shows that you're improved since the last time you had an impairment, OWCP can ask for their money back. They'll classify it as an overpayment, so be careful what you wish for. Prior percentages can be subtracted from present awards. A lot of people don't know that. If you have an existing award, you better consult a lawyer before you submit it if you're going to submit a scheduled award with an additional impairment rating to the same body area. This happens all the time. For example, in the lumbar spine or cervical spine, you got an impairment rating for L4, and now you have radiculopathy affecting your legs and a second surgery because L3 is herniated, and you're qualified for additional impairment because there's an additional level of the spine affecting a different part of the leg. That would be qualified, but you got to make sure that the percentages are going to be in your favor because they could be an overpayment and they could ask for money back. That's why you always consider doing those kind of cases because of all the legal precedent and case law to do those with attorneys. Now, another one I would say is important is receiving a federal workers' compensation award of temporary total disability or loss of wage earning capacity, or LWEP. You cannot receive two types of federal workers' compensation at the same time. So you cannot receive a scheduled award if you're off work receiving workers' comp. You cannot receive two types of checks from the federal government is basically the way to remember it. It's not in your best interest to apply for a schedule award while receiving your lost wage earning checks when you're temporarily off work. It's whenever you've been ruled either disabled, retired, or you've been returned back to work, either full duty or even light duty, before you could be eligible to apply for a scheduled award payout. So there are some exceptions here, but that's the general rule. There are several different types of federal workers' compensation benefits, such as things like vocational rehab, partial total disability, medical services, employment, wage earning compensation. These are all different types of workers' compensation benefits, and you can have an aggravation of a pre-existing medical condition. But you need to understand all that it is entailed, and most of the time you really got to look for a specialty clinic and specialty people, either attorneys or clinics like myself that have a lot of experience with this, because it's very convoluted and it's not easy to navigate. Receiving loss of wage earning compensation is another type of benefit that an injured federal worker can receive. Loss of wage earning compensation is a benefit that takes into account when a permanent injury prevents you from being able to work or being able to return back to work and earn a living at all. So loss of wage earning compensation is a very complex issue. And because of that, if you're receiving a loss of wage earning capacity compensation, this could stop you from receiving a scheduled award. So this could be an exception. For instance, I'll give you an example. It would be like using your own money to pay the scheduled award because you're getting a lifetime workers' compensation benefit because you've been disabled because of the amount of permanent damage you have. So these, again, get into a lot of medical legal, and a lot of times I'll tell people, if you're not at my clinic where we have a lot of experience with it, when most clinics do not, you need to talk to an attorney in these kind of circumstances. There's lots of good attorneys that really understand this stuff very well. Now, another example is if you have a pension or disability coverage. Some patients in certain types of pensions or disability insurance policies that they have, they can actually offset a scheduled award. Let's say you qualify for Social Security disability because of your injury and you're disabled. You can actually have an offset of up to 80% of your scheduled award paid back to Social Security Disability. So you got to be careful when you have disability insurance policies, certain types of eligible pensions that are part of your federal employment agreement. Some of those people are going to give you disability benefits that when you apply for a scheduled award, you actually will have to pay back the disability benefits that you've received. I'll give an example. I had a patient who had a previous doctor. He had VA disability that was qualified for a body area, and he was receiving a check from the VA, a federal program, for his Department of Defense time. When his service time, he had a service-connected disability. He was receiving checks. The doctor, unbeknownst to him, did an impairment rating and submitted it, and the patient didn't know that. The patient and the doctor had not communicated to the doctor that he was receiving the benefit, so he started receiving an impairment rating benefit. Because of the submitted impairment rating and scheduled award, and he violated federal law. And what happened was the VA came after him, and he had to settle with them in court, and he had to pay back the entire impairment rating that he was receiving because he was receiving a double benefit. And he had no idea he had done that, and his doctor didn't know either. So these are the kind of mistakes that doctors and people make, because these are med legal issues, and you really have to understand the federal rules and provisions in order to safeguard your benefits but also protect yourself from mistakes. Sometimes these mistakes can cost you a lot of money. So if you've already have a form of disability coverage or pension, what I would say is make sure that you're careful in understanding what is offsetting in Social Security retirement and scheduled award and VA service-connected benefits. Make sure that you've double-checked to make sure that there's not an overlap where you could be financially punished for benefits that you already are receiving or eligible for, where a scheduled award could actually take that money out of that benefit. Now, let's talk about who can do scheduled awards. We talked about this a little bit. I'm going to approach it again. You can obtain a competent, fully rationalized medical narrative by an appropriate physician if you want to ascertain a scheduled award, but the impairment evaluation has to be performed by more than just an OWCP-approved qualified physician. He also has to be board certified. by the there's two boards. There's ADEB, which is the American Disability Evaluating Physician, which I was trained by, the American Board of Independent Medical Examiners, and there's also the National Certified Medical Examiners. There are requisite professional backgrounds and board certifications that also could be qualifying if you're not certified in those other bodies, but you'd have to demonstrate that knowledge. If OWCP asked about it, you would have to present evidence that you have the requisite professional background and work experience to conduct such ratings. Now, why is that important? Most doctors don't know that. They think, I'm an MD, I can do this exam. They do the exam, they submit it, and they're actually not fully qualified. So you have to understand that when you do your impairment rating. So let's go over this. Make sure your impairment rating is done by a qualified physician, like clinics, the doctors at our clinic, and that they know how to do an impairment rating report that has a narrative text that clearly communicates not only the opinion, but also provides a convincingly descriptive rationale that supports the impairment rating. You have to use the 6th edition AMA guides, and you have to have the prerequisite training that we talked about. Things like occupational medicine, orthopedics, neurology. These are some board certification eligibility that do a lot of these kinds of things. Physical medicine, rehab, those kind of specialists. Not every specialty is going to be qualified. So getting the process of paperwork done right the first time is critical. Make sure you pick the right doc. Make sure the physician is experienced in federal rules and guidelines. And make sure that when you get the federal rules and guidelines, not only is the narrative done, but that you know how to fill out the necessary paperwork in the CA-7 to qualify for a scheduled award. Now, there's also some ECAB decision. There's some appeals board decisions that have demonstrated that you can have a later impairment rating given to a body part where the severity of a pre-existing impairment was found to be worse or more permanent damage was found. So there are legal precedents where you can qualify for additional impairment, for additional damage to the exact same body area. But again, I find that this is something that I would do mostly with an attorney as well. I can do them by myself, but to be honest, I don't even like to do them by myself because I think an attorney presents these faster and quicker than when it's just medical to medical arguments. Sometimes even the district medical advisor, state medical advisors, or the second opinion doctors for OWCP don't even know these rules and provisions as thoroughly as the attorney does. And so just a word of caution here. Okay. All right. That's a lot to cover. So if you don't think you have any of the restrictions we've gone over in this episode and you think you can are eligible to apply to receive a scheduled award, and then you can move forward with trying to get your claim processed and approved, you can reach out to us, apply for a scheduled award and gain approval. It can take some time. I take emails all the time about it. I help other doctors. I help patients help their doctors. I even refer a few people to attorneys. There's attorneys all over the country, so there's probably one in your state. And here at M&R Medical and Therapy, we specialize in doing impairment ratings for scheduled award for many doctors in the area and other doctors' patients and even attorneys in our state. So if you're one of the people who fits the scheduled award categories that we just covered today and you're not one of these exceptions, or you and your doctor or attorney need an impairment rating for a scheduled award, you can contact our office at 813-877-6900 to get started with your scheduled award claim. Well, guys, I think that's it. I think I'm going to wrap it up because that's a lot to swallow. So I appreciate you being here. Thanks for being here for this episode of Federal Workers Comp Coffee Break Podcast. First and foremost, I always want to thank you for listening, and I want to remind you to share this podcast with other federal workers that you think would benefit from this information. Also, if you need an approved medical provider for your DOL, OWC, or Longshore case in Florida, you can find me in Tampa at two different locations and in Jacksonville. I'm also working in Oklahoma now. to make a consult with me to discuss your case, or if you know someone in Florida who's recently injured, you can call the clinic at 813-876-9000. Also, if you're in another state and I can't help you other than assist you and your doctor, send me an email like everybody else does, and I'll assist you with your claim questions, and I'll assist you with helping your doctor, okay? All right, I need to go warm this coffee up. It's starting to run long, and get going. As usual, I want to thank all of you who put on that uniform, the badge, deliver that mail, and take care of our veterans and make this government run. I do this as a big thank you for you. I do this for free just for you guys. We could not do this without all the work that all of you out there do. So this is my big thank you to you. Going to roll into retirement one of these days. This, I hope, is my legacy, to leave this for free to the public and hope that other doctors and patients benefit from it. So remember, if you have an injured federal workers' comp claim and you need assistance, I'm here to help. All right, see you next time. I'm off to get my coffee warmed up. Keep sending those emails and questions and suggestions and comments. I've got two or three podcasts lined up that are specifically about emails that I get. I appreciate hearing from all of you. See you next time.